Blog Talk Radio. Good evening and welcome to Awaken Up. First, I would like to give thanks to the Creator that leads, guides, and directs us in all things. My journey has turned into an eye-opening awakening, and I am here to share that awakening with you. This podcast will explore who are we? What is the difference between a person and a son? What is our purpose? Why do we hold certain beliefs? Why do we tend to see ourselves and others in a certain way? Why do we act the way we do towards ourselves and others? And what does any of this have to do with the events we experience in our world daily? I would like to also thank every one of you for your support that you're giving me. My meetup friends, my LinkedIn connections, my Twitter friends, Facebook friends, Goodreads friends, and many more. Thank you for your emails, your text messages, and your kind words. During this podcast, I will read from my book, He Lives, A Living Testimony, second edition with added preface and edited back cover. Every 3 months, I give away three of my books through my website, www.awaken-us.org. You can click the link to enter and win. The giveaway starts this month, and the winners will be announced once a month. I am promoting a message, not just selling a book. It will be a gift that will keep on giving. And as always, I invite you to visit my website for all information on upcoming events, studies, videos, bookings, and news. The Awaken Us platform will air researchers that address our collective human experiences, both good and evil. The natural law versus man's law. Did we break the first commandment of God when we took on a false identity from birth? Do we really own anything on this earth? Do we have free will? And words. How many meanings can a word have, and what words have we learned that keeps us in bondage, slavery? Stay tuned in for all of our studies, then study to show yourself approved. Tonight on Awaken Us, I will read from my book, He Lives, A Living Testimony, second edition, with added preference and edited back cover. This month, I will be airing a pre-recorded presentation called The Confusion Programs by Servant King, presented by Marcus. Website, www.servantking.info. This presentation will reveal things you are not supposed to know, give you knowledge that is not government approved, expose things that are deliberately concealed, unmask the illusion and fraud of the deceivers, teach you how the oldest trick in the book is done, prove how you have been swindled, and who the thief is will shock you. You will be amazed by the everyday realities you practice and unbelievable discoveries hiding in plain sight. Your long-held beliefs will be shattered and replaced with confirmed knowledge. And of course, you will obtain your reward if you can renew your mind. We have all abandoned our real birthright for an abstract birth certificate. Confusion of the mind, being, voice, faith, law, things, money, and God. Again, I would like to bring some understanding about the nature of the problems so that we can go to work on solving them. We recognize many of the problems humanity face, but we do not understand the nature cause of our problems. There are root core causal factors why we are experiencing suffering in the world. We need some basic information about the nature of the problems to begin talking about the solution to these problems. These root core causal factors is about creating a positive change in your world. It's about the great work. It's about what we care about. Care is the generative principle of the heart. Knowing the true difference between right and wrong behavior. Knowing these causal factors is not just about changing yourself, but about taking action in the process of changing others. It's about being involved in the awakening process of others. You are not here just for your happiness. We are the voice of truth. Courage is a must. Seek truth and speak truth. Last but not least, waking up does not equate to perfection. The great work requires time and persistence. Never give up. Truth, love, and freedom is worth fighting for. I will continue to speak on the root cause of factors of our suffering for weeks to come in order to uplift, inspire, and inform the human consciousness of us all. You can listen to all of my podcasts from my main website, awaken-us.org. Reviews and comments can be emailed to us at awakenus@yahoo.com. Hold on, I'll be right back. What's on your mind? Let's take it to the word. Call me. Dial 516-531-9476. All callers are screened prior to airing.
For immediate release, learning our part in the Creator's plan. He Lives, a Living Testimony, has been published by Outskirts Press. Outskirts Press announces the latest version of the highly anticipated, motivational, and inspirational self-help book from Decatur, Georgia, published by writer Sharon Pelham. Mrs. Pelham's most recent book to date was revised in March 2019 with added preface and edited back cover. This revised 5x8 paperback book is available worldwide on book retailer websites such as Amazon and Barnes & Noble. The webpage at www.awakeus.org was updated simultaneously with the book's publication relaunching.
Testimony, second edition with added preface and edited back cover. These testimonies are of my walk and awakening on this earth with the Creator and His creation. Opening up my eyes and heart to the Creator has given me insight about His Spirit and who the first Son was. You must want this walk for yourself. You must ask, seek, and knock. The Creator is waiting with open arms. You must do the homework by dividing the Word of God. You will not remain the same. No man can give you the understanding that comes through the Spirit of God. The natural laws of God were given to you at birth. These rights are not created by humans, but are your birthright endowed to you by the Creator of the universe. They are your inheritance. We were many from one, but have become one from many, a democracy. The only way out of this deception is through word of mouth, one to another. No man can serve two masters, for he will hate one and love the other. The great work is to end slavery. This should be a shared responsibility to help in awakening others. Speaking the truth unapologetically, even when we feel burdened or uncomfortable. So ask, seek, and knock. Study to show yourself approved, and do not leave your salvation up to any man. The Creator does work through men, but the relationship is a vertical one. You and the Creator. Come as a son, male or female. Greater is he that is in you than the deception that is in the world. Edited back cover. Dismissing myths and strongholds, one mind at a time. What is a servant king? A servant king is the birthright of every man from the moment of his first breath until his natural death. Birthright is a term not much used in our vocabulary today. Most people would equate it with some royal lineage or maybe their right to citizenship. This is our birthright that holds our inheritance, which in turn holds all of our power, property, rights, and duties, and is our single most valuable possession. Unfortunately and unwittingly, we have all been deceived into abandoning our birthright in order to assume a graven identity. This presentation does not contain Marcus' opinions or what he believes to be true, only that is really happening in our everyday lives. During Marcus' quest, he made many discoveries that are not only unbelievable, but apparently are real, true, and happening. He learned that belief is only the lack of knowledge, a poor and foolish substitute for the truth. Belief stands opposed to knowledge. The concepts explained in the presentations affect everyone, the people of every nation on earth. Some of these concepts are easy to see once they are exposed, but some are very difficult to grasp. There is a subtlety to them. Right now, these concepts are foreign and alien to your way of thinking. These concepts will require you to think like you have never thought before.
The Living Testimony is 50 pages in length and is being aggressively promoted to appropriate markets with a focus in the motivational and inspirational self-help category. With U.S. wholesale distribution through Ingram and Baker & Taylor and pervasive online availability through Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and elsewhere, He Lives the Living Testimony meets consumer demand through both retail and library markets with a suggested retail price of $12.95. Additionally, He Lives the Living Testimony can be ordered by retailers or wholesalers for the maximum trade discount price set by the author in quantities of 10 or more from the Outskirts Press Direct Bookstore at www.outskirtspress.com/bookstore. For more information or to contact the author, visit www.awakeus.org.
The first confusion program was called Confusion of Mind. Second one was called Confusion of Being. The third one was called Confusion of Voice, which means personification. And this one is called Person, Confusion of Face. Have you ever wondered what a person is? Everybody uses the word, but does anyone know what it is? A few years ago, a man told me I was a foolish person. Says, Marcus, you're a foolish person. But I know I'm nobody's fool. But maybe I'm a person. So I went straight to the Webster's Dictionary to look up the word person. And it said, a person is primarily the mask of an actor used on stage. A mask is a person. Wow, I didn't know that. So I went back to this man, and I asked him, I said, why am I hiding under a false appearance? Who am I trying to fool? Well, that's the purpose of this program. Now, nobody really said that to me. I'm just illustrating a point here. As I was reading through all the laws and legal systems and statutes and regulations, I noticed that all these laws apply to persons. And I never read anything in legal documents or statutes that apply to just a man. Never read a law that says no man shall do this or no man shall do that. Now, a man is self-evident. Look at somebody, that's a man. But is a person self-evident? So, I read laws that would say things like, no person shall drive a motor vehicle or you will suffer a penalty. Or, no person shall do this or that. No person shall keep this except under the authority of a license and subject to the regulations. I never saw a thing that says, no man shall hunt deer except under the authority of a license or subject to the regulations. It would seem that the law does not regulate a man, only a person. If there's a word that's more common than the word person, I don't know what it is. We say, he's a nice person, or he's a bad person. He showed up in person, or I will deal with him only in person. I heard a doctor say, this disease will spread from person to person. I've heard of personal property. I've heard people say, it's not personal, only business. So basically, you would think everyone is a person. Then I learned that there are many different kinds of persons in Canada, in any country. I heard a cop say, he had drugs on his person, on his person. That's the possessive case. So people can have a person. Or we have a search warrant to search your office and your person. Is it possible not to have a person? I wonder if you could show up somewhere or be present somewhere, but not in person. I know of a guy who went to court and talked to the judge, but later he was arrested because he did not appear in person. But if he was there, why was he later arrested? Have you ever stopped to really think what a person really is all about? I learned that in Canada, women became persons in 1929. Prior to that, women weren't persons. So prior to 1929, women could not catch that disease that the doctor said will pass from person to person. And the woman, if she had any drugs on her, the cop would not have found them on her person. She would have to have them maybe in her pocket. I learned that corporations are persons. They can sue and be sued in court. But this person can't drive. This person can't vote. I know that corporations lobby the government. I wonder how they lobby the government. Some other person must drive them there so that they can lobby in person. I learned that the county of Simcoe is a person. Last week, that person said there will be no garbage collection next week. I learned that the city of Toronto is a person. This person has to apply for a license to keep protected wildlife at their zoo. The law says they have to apply in person. Some people are put in prison and lose their person. They take their person away from them, probably because there's not enough room in the little small cages or cells they keep them. I saw that the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms guarantees everyone the right to life, liberty, and security of the person. In the U.S. Constitution guarantees that every citizen is secure in their houses, persons, paper, and effects. I also learned that a baby is not a person unless it is born, dead or alive. Baby doctors used to be taught that when a pregnant woman came in, they had two patients. Today, they only have one person as a patient. There are groups that want elephants, chimpanzees, and dolphins to be persons. Then if you shoot one, you will have shot a person. Right now, a chimpanzee is the same as an unborn baby, a non-person. You can shoot either one. There is no legal problem there. Aborigines in Australia, prior to 1940, were not persons. You could get a permit or a license from the British High Commission in Australia to shoot one. That's a fact. So when they shot and killed the Aborigine, they did not shoot a person. They must have shot a non-person. They shot an animal. If he was wearing shoes, if this Aborigine was wearing a pair of shoes, they could not have been his personal shoes. If they talked to him, they would have seen he has no personality. And I'm sure that when the Aborigine said, "Why are you going to shoot me?" the answer would have been, "Well, I paid a fee for the license to shoot you. It's not personal, just business." Are you confused? Do you still think you know what a person is? Every law, statute, regulation, ordinance, policy that you've ever obeyed applies to persons. Every obligation, duty, responsibility, debt, liability, omission, neglect, prohibition, punishment, allegiance, loyalty, credit, benefit, right, interest, privilege, account, name, address, title, deed, action, performance, etc., 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 applies to every person. So, what can we learn about a person? What does the encyclopedia say about person? It says personhood continues to be a topic of international debate. The beginning of human personhood is a concept long debated by law, religion, and philosophy. Christianity is the first philosophical system to use the word person in its modern sense. Thus, the word person was originally a theological term created and defined by Christians to explain Christian theological concepts. Here we go with this God stuff again. What does it have to do with God? How can there be a controversy in philosophy and law about a person or what a person is? All of our laws pertain to persons. If no one knows what a person is, how are people being convicted and sent to jail? So, what do the experts say about a person? Experts on law. Judge Blackstone, judge in the 17th century, he wrote or codified the common law, the unwritten law. He says, persons are divided by the law into either natural persons or artificial. Natural persons are such as the God of nature formed us. Artificial are such as created and devised by human laws for the purposes of society and government, which are called corporations or body politic. So a person was created and devised for a society and government, artificially. Bouvier's Law Dictionary, goes back to 100 so years ago. It says this word is applied to men, women, and children who are called natural persons. In law, man and person are not exactly synonymous terms. Any human being is a man, whether he be a member of society or not, whatever may be the rank he holds, or whatever may be his age, sex, etc. A person is a man considered according to the rank he holds in society, with all the rights to which the place he holds entitles him and the duties which it imposes. So that's saying not every man is a person, but every person must be a man. But corporations and cities are not men. So that couldn't be true. What does the Canadian Law Dictionary say? It says a person is any being, that is capable of having rights and duties and is confined to that. Dead, alive, real, imaginary, fictitious, makes no difference. A being, anything you can conceive. Persons are of two classes only, natural persons and legal persons. A natural person is a human being that has the capacity for rights and duties. A legal person is anything to which the law gives a legal or fictional existence or personality with the capacity for rights and duties. The only legal person known to our law is the corporation, the body corporate. As Daniel Webster from Webster's Dictionary has already told us, the ordinary meaning of this word, it says, a person is primarily the mask of an actor used on stage. Well, we might as well quote God, too, see if he made any persons. He says, do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which ye are called? If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in this one point, he is guilty of all. So, he don't like persons or didn't make any persons. Persons, defined in the early 1800s. A human being represented in dialogue, fiction, or on the stage. Character, character of office. A player appears in the person of a character. In law, a person is one enabled to maintain pleas in court. A person is a person who can plead for things, beg for things. Otherwise, you can't beg for anything. So the birth certificate, your birth certificate, does not represent a human being. The human being appears as the birthed, non-living entity certified by the birth certificate. Can you understand that? Confusing, isn't it? Personal. Belonging to men or women, not to things. It's not real. Present in person. It's not real. Not acting by representative as a personal interview. Personal estate. Belonging to the person as opposed to real estate. Personal identity in metaphysics means sameness of being, of which consciousness is the evidence. Personate. To represent by a fictitious or assumed character so as to pass for the person represented. To represent by action or appearance. To assume the character and act the part of another. To pretend hypocritically. To resemble. A mask. Now, these are actual definitions. I'm not making this stuff up. Actual definitions from authorities. So a personator, one who assumes the character of another, one that acts or performs. Personification. What is personification? The giving to an inanimate being, the figure or the sentiments and language of a rational being. It's called prosopopoeia, as confusion heard his voice. You remember the last video? Confusion of voice. Personify. to give animation to an inanimate objects, to ascribe to an inanimate being the sentiments, sentiments, action, or language of a rational being, to represent as an inanimate being. Legal personality is the characteristic of a non-living entity regarded by law to have the status of personhood. So what is all this? This is the act of necromancy, invoking the dead to obtain a remedy in law to achieve a justice because of an existing injustice, conjuring up the dead as a medium, an instrument to achieve a purpose. I know, it's hard to believe, but you think a person is something real, but the person is already the dead thing, and you're giving it life. You're giving life to the dead. Let's see what the Masters of Confusion say about persons. A person is recognized by the law as such, not because he is human, but because rights and duties are ascribed to him. The person is the legal subject or substance of which the rights and duties are attributes. The individual human being considered as having such attributes is what lawyers call a natural person. A person by statute term may include a firm, labor organization, partnership, association, corporation, legal representative, trustees in bankruptcy, or receivers. Now let's see what other encyclopedias say about persons. A person, from the Latin language, is a persona, meaning mask, is a being such as a human that has certain capacities or attributes constituting personhood. Personhood, the precise definition of which is the subject of much controversy. How can there be a controversy when people are going to jail, when persons are going to jail and being executed, killed in person? In ancient Rome, the word persona in Latin, or prosopon in Greek, originally referred to the mask worn by actors on stage. The various masks represented the various personae in the stage play. In Roman law, the word persona became used to refer to the role played in court, and it became established that it was the role rather than the actor that could have rights, powers, and duties, because different individuals could assume the same roles. The rights, powers, and duties follow the role, not the actor. And each individual could act in more than one role, each a different person in law. Now, you know what that is. That's a split personality, a multiple personality disorder, schizophrenia. Also, you now know why you have no rights, powers, or duties. They follow the role, not the actor. It's getting good, isn't it? The concept of a person was further developed during the Trinitarian and Christological debates of the 5th through 6th century. Since then, a number of important changes to the word's meaning and use have taken place, and attempts have been made to redefine the word with varying degrees of adoption and influence. Many modern speakers of colloquial English conflate the meaning of role and actor, means they're confused, which can result in some confusion when they try to enter into legal discourse. So, this has something to do with this concept of Christ. So if that's true, if you're a Jew or a Muslim, you can't be a person. And anyone born before Christ, B.C., couldn't be a person. So we've only had persons for 2013 years, if that's what a person is. prosopagnosia, in Greek, prosopon, meaning face. Agnosia, meaning not knowing the face. It is a disorder of face perception, where the ability to recognize faces is impaired, while the ability to recognize other objects may be relatively intact. An agnostic. A confusion of face. That's where the word comes from. Aprosopopeia. Greek. Is a rhetorical device in which a speaker or writer communicates to the audience by speaking as another person or object. The term literally derives from the Greek root prosopon, face, person. So every time we speak in person, we are speaking as someone else, evidenced by the mask we wear. We are speaking in disguise. We are concealing our real identity and putting on an identity. This term also refers to a figure of speech in which an animal or inanimate object is ascribed human characteristics or is spoken of in anthropomorphic language. Quintilian writes of the power of this figure of speech to bring down the gods from heaven, evoke the dead, and give voice to cities and states. So this is necromancy again. Evoking the dead and making cities and states into persons. Personification. A figure of speech in which inanimate objects or abstractions are endowed with human qualities or are represented as possessing human form, also called prosopopeia. Now you know what an inanimate object is. It's the dead. It's not living. Personification, the act of attributing human characteristics to abstract ideas, incarnation, embodiment, giving concrete form to abstract concepts. Are you starting to understand what your birth certificate is? All this is called the occult, the supernatural, witchcraft. And we practice it every day of our lives, don't even know we do it. Whenever you do anything in person, we are evoking the dead as a medium, an instrument, to do whatever we're doing through. As we go on, you will see that we act, think, and speak for the dead. In fact, we are the medium. We are the medium that is used by the occult to give life to the dead, to make it seem real, to make it believable. Of course, if we said that we act by and through the dead, people would be repulsed. So we will just call it a fiction, an abstract being, an inanimate being. People will never figure it out. Now you should be starting to get really confused. You should be saying, I find this hard to believe, or this is unbelievable. But the real question is, why do we have to do this? Well, the answer is because we are dead in the law. Wait to unravel this for you. Then you will learn the extreme evil in this. Right now, confusion may seem funny, may not seem like any big deal. It isn't until you can picture the whole thing and understand how wrong and evil this is and the results of this that you're going to say, I don't want to be involved in this anymore. I wonder if there are any people that are not persons. Non-persons, unpersons. Of course, the unborn baby, the aborigine, and some prisoners are not persons. A non-person is a man regarded as non-existent and having no rights. A man whose existence is systematically ignored. Doesn't exist. How stupid is that? Can't see you, unless you're a person. What were the statements I made up front in the very first video? I said that you will not believe it. I said you practice the occult. You do not see things that are there, and you do see things that are not there, called hallucinations and blindness, a severe mental disorder. You see, The Constitution that you think you are a member of is only make-believe. Remember, I told you that there are only two ways to see, with your eyes and with your mind. Members of the Canadian Constitution can only be seen with your mind. This is your first glimpse of the illusion, but still hard to grasp. I know. So a non-person, persona qui non exista in Latin, someone whose existence or presence is not recognized, someone whose existence is systematically ignored or concealed, especially one whose removal from the attention and memory of the public. So a man, a simple, plain, just ordinary man, is not recognized by the law. Not recognized by the law that you call a legal system. Now, I should tell you something. God does not respect persons. Remember we read that earlier when he defined what a person is? He is a non-respecter of persons. And our law only respects persons. So people who build churches for God, for a place for him to live, well, your church is a person. And that person does not have to pay property taxes. And I can show you exactly where that is in the law. I just thought religious people would like to know that. To have a persona was to be a person, was to have a face before the law. Which is to say, to be recognized as one possessing rights and privileges before a court. Or as being able to give testimony upon the strength of one's own words, or simply as owning a respectable social identity. So if you have no persona, no mask, you have no face before the law. So if you go to court, remember to put on your mask so that you can appear in person.
Let's continue with Marcus.
So a mask becomes your identity. It is all the judge can see. You are in disguise. Of course, he only sees it in his mind. So what is a non-person? A man who cannot be seen, no face before the law, no mask. A man who holds no public office. A man who is systematically ignored. A man whose presence is not recognized. A man who does not wear a mask. A man who does not give legal advice. A man removed from the memory of the public. A man who has no rights, protections, privileges, responsibilities, duties, or legal liability. I can tell you that a person has no gender and owns no property. A fiction owns no property because it's nothing. It's a fiction. It's not real. You cannot see a person, smell a person, taste a person, feel a person, or hear a person. It is nonsense. In fact, a person is not a noun. It's an adverb. But you can be made to realize, the act of making real, a person, if you think, speak, and act for it. This is, of course, what is called an insane delusion. Now, getting back to the only person known to our law, let's break down the concept as it is used in our law. Per means, it's a Latin preposition, means denoting through, near, close, as, through, or with, denoting the agent, means, instrument, or cause. Son, the male issue of a parent, a native or inhabitant of a country, such as the sons of Britain. A son is that which is fathered. The father is he who creates, invents, makes, or composes anything. If a country can have sons, then the country must be their father. Father and son are reciprocal terms, meaning you cannot have a father without having a son, and you cannot have a son without having a father. So person is a process, not a being. A son is a being. A person is one who did the act in the place instead of the son, or by means of the son, the use of a medium. One who acts as the son, in the name of the son, by and through the son, and appears to be the son, is the exact son, out of the act. In court, this is called pleading into a fiction of law, pleading as the dead. It is an out-of-body experience. This is why a summons to appear is a conjuration, evoking the dead. But you are summoned to appear as the son, in the place instead of the one who by and through the son, or the dead, did the act, the actor fulfilling the role. If I say it a little bit different, you may start to grasp this. This is a summons to appear. Summons to appear. It's calling the dead to appear. A court only has jurisdiction over the dead. When I show you in the Unraveled programs the blasphemy of what this is really about, religious people will go berserk. Remember, the Registrar General said your birth certificate was never meant to be used as personal identification. That's right. It only identifies the son. When you use it, you become the person. You become this entity who acted by and through the son, the instrument. You have given life to the dead. This is called a resurrection of the dead. All rise. The court is now in session. A country cannot be a real father and cannot have real sons. It's just pretend. They are called fictions of law or paper fictions. These sons have no connection based on blood, but based on affinity. The only person known to our law is one to which we give, as a lawmaker, a fictional existence. Why? Who's going to obey our commands? Sorry to tell you, but fictions do not exist. They are all in your mind only. So we think, speak, and act by and through this fictional son. Thus we are a natural person. The thinking, speaking, and acting can only be done by you. Thus the cause of every effect is done by and through you, the living one. So the act was done in person. This is the way the law, the legal system was designed. Doesn't mean it's right. And therefore, I think, therefore I am. I speak, therefore I must be it. And I act for it. So I guess I am it. The evidence of the abstract or fictional son is your Canadian issued identification. You think you are the same or identical to it. And you may use it as a foundational identity document.
If you'd like to talk to me after the show, call in 5 minutes prior to the show ending. Dial 516-531-9476.
Now let's look at the father-son relationship. All law is based on a father-son relationship. The legal term is parens patriae, meaning parent of the country. The parens patriae document has its roots in English common law. In feudal times, various obligations and powers, collectively referred to as the royal prerogative, were reserved to the king. The king exercised these functions in the role as father of the country. Who's your daddy? Gotta know, who's your daddy? Let's look at a fiction of law. What is a fiction of law? A convenient fiction or a misfortunate truth? Fiction means feigned, imaginary, not real. The human persons are as fictitious as the airy ones. This was written about 100 years ago. You won't find this now. Feign. To invent or imagine, to form an idea or conception of something not real. to make a show of, to pretend, to assume a false appearance, to counterfeit, to represent falsely, to pretend, invent, devised, imagined, assumed. This is nothing more than fraud. But you're the one that's doing it. No one's forcing you to do it. So it's not a fraud then, is it? But it's fraud. You're being tricked into committing fraud. Now here's man's justification or rationale for this, but it doesn't answer why. I'm just going to read you some things about fiction of law here. It says, fiction of law, or fictions were invented, fictions were invented by the Roman praetors, who, not possessing the power to abrogate the law, were nevertheless willing to derogate from it under the pretense of doing equity. Abrogate means to get rid of. So not possessing the power to get rid of the law, what law are we talking about here? What law couldn't they get rid of? This was the Roman Empire. Controlled the whole world. What law couldn't they get rid of? Think about it. And they did this under the pretense of doing equity. Pretense means pretending with the intention to deceive. It goes on to say that a fiction of law is the assumption that a certain thing is true and which gives to a person or a thing a quality which is not natural to it.